Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. It's time for the Graham Capital Market Update, a daily look at Wall Street brought to you by Graham Capital, an estate planning and investment management firm right here in Florida. How hard is your money working for you? Let's find out with your hosts, David Graham and Stosh Graham.
This is Dave Graham, the retirement guy, and you're listening to Graham Capital's Market Update. Show's brought to you by Graham Capital Advisors. We're the people that you come to when you're getting ready for retirement and you want to do it correctly, you want to do it properly. Let us help you. Let us help you get a plan in place that makes sense for you. It's a three-legged stool: legal, planning, and investing. We do it all. One-stop investment, retirement planning. Let us help you do it correctly and properly. Go to our website. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. That's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. And if you're a fan of Dave Ramsey, let me tell you something. Mike Burcon with Graham Capital has been appointed to be a Smart Vestor Pro. He has gotten Dave's blessing. So if you like Dave's guidance and advice, give us a ring, and that might give you a ring. Okay, it's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. And online, we have Stosh Graham. He's the Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's GrahamCapitalWealth.com. How's it going, Stosh?
Good afternoon, David.
Well, Stosh, let's talk about the Federal Reserve. You know, we have people coming in saying, well, I'm not really sure what they do. Do we even need them and what have you? And let's try to get people to understand exactly what the Federal Reserve does and is. Now, yesterday they had that big meeting that, you know, obviously affects the markets and affects everyone's investments and retirement monies and what have you. So the Federal Reserve, they just concluded their big March meeting. What were the big takeaways from it?
So the Federal Reserve, the March meeting, I think the big takeaway from the March meeting was that right now it's status quo. There wasn't much change. I know there were some headlines, say 24 hours removed from the meeting, that some people thought, okay, well, this sounded pretty dovish. I would say there, you could take it both ways. In 2025, they moved a rate cut, so that's hawkish. But Fed Chair Jerome Powell did guide that he thought at some point in 2024 there was going to be a rate cut and that they were pretty much done on rate hikes. So again, I think that kind of confirms what we all knew, which is the Federal Reserve is done with rate hikes. So certainly you saw the markets react favorably to the meeting. Certain sectors did better than others. Obviously, if you were interest rate sensitive, whether inversely or directly correlated, you moved in kind with interest rates. So again, I think the Federal Reserve right now is still trying to get a good grasp if they're actually defeating inflation. And while it certainly has come down over the last year, there's still more room to go. And the Federal Reserve chair issued that comment three or four times,
right,
that our goal is 2%. We're not at 2%. There could be some help along the way in the next few months, but we're still above, and there are some sticky parts to the overall inflation numbers, which is giving them a hard time getting to their target.
Sure. Well, he's dealing with inflation, and so all bets are off. But I guess, what makes up the Federal Reserve?
So the Federal Reserve, you know, the most common, and it's funny how much we talk about the Federal Reserve when there's really not a complete understanding about what the Federal Reserve is. A lot of people believe the Federal Reserve is a government agency. It's not. It is a central bank that is largely to serve their stakeholders, and the stakeholders are the banks. So a lot of people believe that, again, you know, it's some type of government agency. It's not. But the Federal Reserve, the formal name, actually, the Federal Reserve is not Federal Reserve Bank. It is the Federal Reserve System. And there are three key entities as a part of this system. You have the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. Then you have the 12 regional or district reserve banks. And then you have the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee. So again, it's not necessarily you just have a bank. It's actually a much larger organism that, again, has several moving parts to the overall infrastructure, which is an infrastructure geared around the United States and our monetary policy in an effort to promote employment, or really maximum employment is the term they use, and stable prices, which is inflation.
Sure. Well, when people hear government agency, and they think that, but like you just said, it's someone that is in charge of, I guess, controlling the banks. Is the Federal Reserve affected by politics, or is it pretty much apolitical?
Well, no, it does. I mean, think about how the Fed chair gets picked by the president, and you have to be confirmed. Again, there are checks and balances. Congress oversees the Federal Reserve system and each respective entity within that system. So again, you know, you're talking about three separate entities. So yes, there is. I know some people believe it's independent, and maybe that's the way you're taught in school. But certainly, again, there are relationships between politicians and the members of the Federal Reserve, especially the chair.
Sure. So, who actually controls the Federal Reserve? Isn't there a variety of them, a group of governors or something? What is that all about?
Right. So that's the Board of Governors. So so if there is a part, actually, a subcomponent of the Federal Reserve is the Board of Governors. Now, the Board of Governors is an agency of the Federal Reserve that reports directly to the accountable parties within Congress. Generally, the Board of Directors provides an overarching guidance to the entire Federal Reserve system, and it oversees the 12 Federal Reserve banks, the regional district banks. Again, it's just not a bank. I think that's the hard part. When you say Federal Reserve,
right,
people just think, well, okay, it's a system, and it's made up of various entities. So you do have a Board of Governors. You also have the Federal Open Market Committee, the FOMC, and that's really the most active, the most public-facing entity of all entities that really the public sees. Now, these participants in the FOMC, they consist of members of the Board of Governors. They are regional bank presidents. There's obviously the chair of the Federal Reserve is also the chair of the board of the FOMC. They set the agenda. But it's important because the FOMC has a rotation of who are voting and non-voting members. Not every Federal Reserve regional district bank president is going to be a voting member of the FOMC, which directly dictates monetary policy.
Right. Well, when you think of the Federal Reserve, and the people that own the Federal Reserve then are the banks themselves. So the banks get dividends of some sort by owning, you know, percentage of the Federal Reserve?
It's not, yeah. So there's a dynamic where there's certainly financial interest. I wouldn't necessarily think about how payments get made. There are, say, Federal Home Loan Bank entities, which are shares you could buy into in your bank, and those do have dividends that get paid out. Again, I think the important part is, okay, you have a Federal Reserve system. You have Federal Reserve banks scattered throughout the country. You have 12 of them. They all act independent, but they have similar supervision. And again, the boundaries are generally geared, I mean, that haven't been changed recently, but they're generally geared around economic considerations. And again, the Federal Reserve presidents themselves, and I think this has been very evident the last 4 or 5 months, Federal Reserve presidents have their own idea of monetary policy. You have some very hawkish members in certain regions, especially along the north, maybe north central, maybe district 7 or 9. They tend to have more hawkish views on monetary policy, especially in Minneapolis, in St. Louis, which is in district 8. So again, there are different dynamics at play, and I think it's important to just keep in mind that while the Federal Reserve is focused on employment and inflation, they do report to their stakeholders, which are banks and banking heads.
Right. And when the Federal Reserve itself, where does it get its money? Does it mainly through like government securities or something? Where would they get paid from?
Well, so the interesting part about the Federal Reserve is, well, actually the word reserve in this case. So banks keep money with the Federal Reserve, and hence where the term reserves come from. And I think the fascinating part, I think people have certainly gotten quite a lesson on the structure and the function of the Federal Reserve and actually how quantitative easing and quantitative tightening happen. For example, in quantitative easing, a lot of the time that you see the Federal Reserve buying securities, really what they're doing is they're just replacing treasuries or mortgage-backed securities that are already within their member banks, and they're just exchanging it for cash,
right?
Buying it, and they're giving that bank more cash. And again, that is largely the function, especially in regards to monetary policy and how policy can loosen or monetary policy decisions can loosen and create excess cash into the system or take it away. Saying quantitative tightening, the function is, okay, well, you know what? You know, we have this extra, these extra treasuries. Maybe we'll let it mature and roll off, but ultimately they're going to be taking cash out of their member banks, especially your money center banks. That's where they probably do most of them, or where most you see most of the access. But look, within the FOMC, again, the entity that is the voting members, they have the most important function, I think, of really the three entities. The Board of Governors, again, provides oversight, but the FOMC, again, is the entity that is going to dictate monetary policy. And really, that is the mechanism that has the biggest impact on the economy, on financial asset prices. Again, you could just see over the last couple of years, every single meeting is like a holiday. There's so much attention, and the market moves materially off of that.
Right. Well, you were talking about the bank, the Fed itself. You have Powell as the chair. You have, I believe, 7 board members. And then you have 12 districts around the country. Are they in regional districts?
That's exactly what we were just saying. Yes. So those are two of those 12, now, to be clear, too, the Board of Governors, you have 7 Board of Governors that are a part of the FOMC of the 12. Then you have, again, that rotation of Reserve Bank presidents who serve on 1-year terms, but it's on a rotating basis. So 4 of the 11 will rotate, and then the one remaining person who always has a seat at the table, and which is, I think, a lot of people, when they think of Federal Reserve banks, they think in New York City.
Right.
The Federal Reserve Bank in New York. They always have, their president always sits and always a voting member on the FOMC.
When a chairman of the Reserve is in business, if I remember correctly, he cannot be replaced by the president until the end of his term. And then at that time, the president can then replace him with a new chairman. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, very good. Well, look, you know, when people think about the Federal Reserve, just focusing on that for a little bit, you know, it's always kind of ambiguous. Like, what does it really do? Who are these people? But it's technically really owned, by, like you said, by the banking industry itself, and so to have stability in the system. But and when you look at the biggest banks in the country, I guess you'd be looking at J.P. Morgan Chase. You'd be looking at, I guess, Bank of America, Wachovia, banks of that nature. Do they have more of an interest in that bank than any other bank?
Well, technically, no, but I think in hindsight, certainly they have the greatest influence, especially within the districts that they reside. J.P. Morgan Chase does not reside in the same district that, say, Wells Fargo does, and both are structurally, systematically important banks. But look, when the Federal Reserve, and I think this is important too, when we talk about monetary policy, the Federal Reserve, or in particular, the FOMC doesn't necessarily change a whole host of interest rates. The Federal Reserve, or the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee, really only controls one interest rate.
Right.
That's the discount rate. That's the rate of which if banks need cash, they go to the Federal Reserve and they get charged a certain interest rate, say for overnight lending, because they need to reach their capital or liquidity mandates. That is the discount rate. The Federal Reserve directly controls that.
Right.
And the FOMC, the more widely quoted interest rate, which is the Fed funds rate, that is what banks charge each other. So say we just use JP Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. If they were to borrow money from one another, they're going to pay each other at the Fed funds rate. That is a target range. That's important. The Federal Reserve doesn't say it's exactly 25 basis points. It's going to be a range. It's going to be 25 basis points to 50 basis points. Now, obviously, we know the Fed funds rate is over 5%. But again, it's a target range, and then the banks settle amongst themselves what exactly that interest rate is going to be.
Sure.
But when monetary policy gets made, it generally only directly affects short-term interest rates. The shorter term the interest rate, the more effective it is. 3 to 6 months, definitely affected by FOMC decisions. 1 to 5 years, maybe a little less so. 5 to 10 years, 10 to 30 years, much less so.
Sure.
So there is a knock-on effect to the direct impact the Federal Reserve has, or the FOMC has, on interest rates across a yield curve.
Sure. I remember about a decade or so ago, Ron Paul, when he was in Congress, you know, he passed a bill with the Monetary Policy Subcommittee where he was really a staunch opponent of the Federal Reserve system, and he constantly kept introducing bills to abolish the Federal Reserve system, but they could never get it passed. Why would he have wanted to abolish the system?
I'm not too sure. You know, look, the Federal Reserve was created in response to the Great Depression. And again, I think it's there to provide a checks and balances on banks overall. Again, the banks are the stakeholders of the Federal Reserve, and pairing that with the better interest for larger society in the country. Again, the mandate of the Federal Reserve, while they answer to the stakeholders, which are their bank shareholders or their banks, the mandate is to maximize employment, so make sure we have a strong labor market, and balance inflation, which is the price of goods. It's not to maximize revenue for their member banks. It's not that. And so, again, I think that's why Congress created the Federal Reserve, was
right,
for that development. And again, we are at such an uncertain time in our nation's history where, you know, goodness, I mean, the value of the dollar to buy a good was tough to come by, certainly during the Great Depression. So,
sure,
again, you saw a lot of, and it's just not, I mean, the Federal Reserve and the creation of the Federal Reserve, you had a lot of investment rules, the Investment Act of 1940 that was coming out of the aftermath of the Great Depression.
Sure. Well, when you think about it for a second, you know, the dollar is the strongest currency in the world. If we decided to get rid of the Federal Reserve, oh my gosh, you know, the global markets, they would need some form of direction. And we had this void without the Fed in America, markets would be thrown, I would imagine, would be thrown into chaos just because of the uncertainty of who's actually managing, you know, interest rates in the American economy. Wouldn't that be catastrophic?
Oh, financial asset prices, absolutely. Look, the stock market or any type of financial asset does not like uncertainty. And certainly when you take away the chief regulator on monetary policy or the currency that is, or for the country that houses the world's currency, which is the U.S. dollar, and it still is, and it's going to be in the coming years, maybe to a lesser degree, but it is still the world's reserve currency. All financial asset prices would reprice materially, and they would reprice lower.
Right. Well, when you think of the Fed and you think of the magnitude of the responsibility that they have, you know, when they do make errors every now and then, you know, it would be more than anything else, probably be kind of some kind of flawed modeling of the economy and, you know, its perception that it could manage, like, let's say, inflation expectations. But good gosh, you have bad judgment or you have insufficient diversity of thinking is one way of describing it, I guess. And, you know, you know, it could really, really make things very difficult for the country, for the dollar and what have you. And I still remember when Volcker with Reagan was president and they're trying to bring down inflation interest rates from 12-13%. And boy, oh boy. I mean, he raised them up 12-13%, you know, just to get inflation in control and everything else. And my gosh, it just stopped everything. You know, people couldn't buy houses, they couldn't get loans, the whole shooting match. So long story short of it is what you're saying is that the Fed, we got to have the Fed just to have some stability for our own banking system, in, you know, interest rates and what have you. And that's one reason why now when you see them talk about interest rate hikes and you know, like right now, for example, they're planning on at least three more cuts this year. And, you know, just because, but since inflation just gone up, if there is another cut, what do you think that's going to do to the economy?
Well, I think in the case of interest rate cuts, history has shown it's actually a buy the rumor, sell the news type of dynamic. The Federal Reserve cuts, and they won't tell you this, but Federal Reserve cuts when they see economic weakness. Really, that's, and throughout history, that is what you've seen. Generally, right. People ask for it, and they think it's good for financial asset prices, and maybe it is for 30 to 60 days. But if the Federal Reserve is cutting, they're seeing something that is breaking. And they're trying to stave it off, because one of the tough parts about the Federal Reserve, some of the major variables that affect monetary policy are events or projections into the future. We've talked a lot about the monetary policy transmission mechanism. The Federal Reserve knows itself, and the Fed chair has talked about this on numerous occasions over the last few years.
Right. Well,
the dynamics of when they make a policy decision, how that changes into the future. So say if they cut interest rates, that'll be a boon for the economy, but usually a year later. Conversely, if you make a hike, that's going to suppress, say, a year or two later. So, or a year, year and a half later. And look, you know, you've certainly seen one of the steepest rate hikes in modern history, yet you really haven't seen much against it in terms of stagnating economy. In certain parts, you absolutely have. Right. And I think that's why the Federal Reserve is very careful right now not to cut interest rates. Again, just 90 days ago, we thought we were already going to have a rate cut and we're going to be on our way to our second rate cut. And you're not getting that. And right now, June and July is a time frame of maybe when the next rate cut happens. But that's a maybe. Again, just, you know, a couple months ago, you thought we already would have had one, and we haven't. So right. And I think we know the direction of where they're going, but it's going to take time. And again, I think with the Federal Reserve, the natural lag behind the effects of what they do with monetary policy, that's what makes the position very tough. And again, it could be factors that are anticipated, or there could be situations, say, like the Russia-Ukraine war, which could not have been anticipated, and you saw a shock to the system.
Sure. Well, Stash, again, you gave us good guidance on exactly what the Federal Reserve is, and when people think about it, they at least know now that it's geared towards the banks and stabilization of our economy, interest rates, what have you. And obviously, it's one canary in the coal mine that the market is constantly looking at, because they're always looking at interest rates. And they're going to be up, they're going to be down, or what have you. So you give us a good interpretation of it. So I really appreciate you coming on, Guy. Good information. You take care now.
Sounds good, David. Thanks.
Good seeing you. Thanks, now. Yeah, you're just listening to Stash Graham, the Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's GrahamCapitalWealth.com. And you feel that now is a good time to get a good second opinion of what you're doing with your monies. If something inside you is telling you that you need to make a change, but you're not sure where to go or what to do, listen to your gut. Because when was the last time you did that you regretted it later? By doing that, you're going to just feel the stress leave your body by getting a good second opinion. Don't keep thinking about it. Give us a ring. You're going to have to talk to Stash personally. Let him give you the guidance that you're going to need to make sure that you're doing the right thing for the right reason. At our company, very proud to be a fiduciaries. What does that mean? That means we're just as concerned about your retirement and your monies as you are. Come and see us. Go to our website. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. That's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. Remember, your way down there in Northport or Englewood or Port Charlotte, it's worth the drive up to our Venice office to get the kind of guidance that you're going to need. Again, go to our website. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. You know, right now is the perfect time to do a little bit of spring cleaning for your finances. And with us, we try to get people to look at things that they need to do. And, you know, let's, for example, let's kind of revisit all of your New Year's Eve financial resolutions. You know, by revisiting your New Year's Eve revolutions in the spring, it's the perfect opportunity to restart and actually start making progress towards your goals, your financial goals. Now, if you haven't made much progress, it's still very use the spring to hit the restart button and you regain momentum. You know, taking advantage of all the complimentary consultations is a great place to start. And we can help you do that. We can help you reach your goals. You know, the numbers are, when you look at numbers, you know, I think it's only 8 to 10% of people actually achieve their financial resolutions each year. That's according to a survey by Fidelity Investments. You know, when we want you to help you achieve your goals, good gosh. So now's the time to clean out your financial junk drawer, okay? Spring is the perfect time to clean out the junk drawer where you stash all your paperwork or your statements that you need attention to. I remember once visiting a client, a professional person that would simply get their financial statements and throw it in a closet and shut the door. By the time I got there, without exaggeration, the paper was up almost 3 feet unless they never looked at any of it. Good gosh. But you know the drawer I'm talking about, that drawer in your office or the kitchen that, you know, ends up holding all the documents that you're going to take care of someday. So start sorting through all the neglected papers that can help ease your financial stress. Take the opportunity to shred unnecessary documents, okay? Get it into the recycling bin. You know, the important ones, you know, keep, obviously, put them in a separate stack and address any outstanding financial tasks you might have. And if you have questions about a document you've received, don't hesitate to call us. You know, come and see us. You know, we love helping our listeners get their finances in order. And don't forget to organize tax-related documents and set up a folder for all the 2024 documents now, including receipts, official forms. You know, consider consulting a tax professional. Make sure that you're withholding the right amount from your paychecks. And remember this, if you haven't done your taxes yet, come on. The longer you wait, the harder it's going to be. Well, I got good news for you. You know, at our company now, if you're tired of crunching numbers, we have somebody that can help you through this complex world of taxing and accounting. So I want to introduce you to a new member of our team. It's Dave Gearhart. You know, Dave is an attorney and a CPA, and he has joined the Graham Capital team. So let Dave help you save some money, avoid tax penalties, and handle your accounting needs with precision and expertise, which you need. So give us a call. Go to our website, schedule an appointment, come in to see Dave. Let him help you with our taxes, okay? Just go to GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. That's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. You know, now more than ever, this is the time of year where, you know, the flowers are just starting to come out. Get a good handle on everything that you're doing. So by the time you get into the summer, you're going to know exactly where you stand with everything. And again, at our company, we can help you do that. It's a three-legged stool, legal, planning, and investing. Go to our website. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. You really want to be lucky in life, go help someone. Got a smile on you. You're going to get to be incredibly lucky. We're lucky to be Americans. It's right in our currency. In God we trust. Good luck. God bless. Take care of each other. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Graham Capital Market Update. For more information on any of today's topics, visit GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. This program is sponsored by Graham Capital Advisors, LLC, an independent estate planning and insurance agency. Investment advisory services are provided by Graham Capital Wealth Management, LLC, an independent registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Graham Capital Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. The information provided is for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice, and it should not be relied on as such. Individuals should consult a qualified professional for guidance before making any purchasing decisions.